What's going on, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson.
Welcome to Miss Inda Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. The very first podcast dedicated to the original idol, Kelly Clarkson. Here are your hosts, Jeremy and Pam.
Welcome to another episode, everybody, of Miss Inda Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And my name is Pam. And today we're talking about songs that Kelly has released as singles that have not actually appeared on an album.
These are the little one-offs, the ones that we got to tide us over until a more proper album could be released, or maybe just a little fun song to just make us happy.
And there's a lot more than you think. Because, yeah. You know, offhand, I was thinking, oh, yeah, we had like Tied Up and we had I Dare You. And then, you know, immediately I couldn't think of a ton off the top of my head. And then the more I was thinking about it, I'm like, there's actually quite a bit. We have almost 20 here, guys. 20.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this.
It's almost like a full album of just spare songs thrown out there.
Exactly.
So, Pam, where would you like to start?
So, normally I would be like, yeah, let's start at the beginning. But I think just to throw people off, let's just start at a random song.
Yeah, we're going to do this on shuffle.
On shuffle. So, the first one on my list was one that I just mentioned, which was Tie It Up. So Tied Up, she released, I believe, in 2013, presumably. That's when she got married. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. You know, it was a fun single. She was so excited to finally get married to Brandon. And it was, I think it was kind of a surprise to us. I mean, I don't think we, as far as the song, not the marriage.
Yeah,
it's really fun. I know in a couple episodes ago, we went over the music video that was her in like a wedding dress in like a barn performing with her band. And they had a bunch of like fan videos or photos that people were able to submit for the video. It was really fun.
Right.
I don't know how this did at country radio though.
So the song didn't light the world on fire as far as the charts are concerned. I mean, I think it peaked in the 30s in the country charts on Billboard. It, you know, had a spike on the Hot 100 singles. In fact, you remember, you mentioned this single chart, the US bubbling under Hot 100. It actually peaked at number 12 on that, which again means the songs that are about to or could possibly make the Billboard Hot 100. So it never actually got there. But again, I don't think it was actually released as any sort of big major single. I think it was just a fun song that she was really excited to make. She, again, like you said, she was very excited about getting married.
Yeah.
I have to say that of all of these songs that we're going to talk about today, this one is actually my favorite. And I think that going back to the we sort of touched on this a little bit a couple weeks ago in our episode about the leaks and unreleased songs, that there were a lot of songs that were prepared for a potential country project. And this one would have fit perfectly into that particular album. And it is it's an actually really well-rounded song. Like you said, it's a very upbeat and fun and peppy song. It's a really cute video. And this is my favorite of all of these that were sort of one-offs, just because of the fun factor. And it's a song that I still like to listen to today.
Yeah. And she actually did perform it live on tour on the 2013 Honda Civic tour, which was, again, that was the year the song was out. So I had forgotten that I had seen it live. But yeah, I kind of need to go back and watch some videos because apparently, according to the internet, I saw it live, but I have no memory of this. So.
Well, and what's sad is that, you know, obviously with everything going on with her, that this is a song that's probably going to be forgotten in the catalog.
It's gonna be
shelved, buried away, you know, maybe years and years and years down the road when, you know, she does her farewell tour, maybe it pops up from time to time. It's unfortunate because it was such a great song.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, do you want to pick the next one?
Yeah, I'll pick a song that was not necessarily meant to be a single, but it was put out for a good reason. And that was the American Idol Gives Back edition of Up to the Mountain. We've talked about this song multiple times. She performed it on the Idol Gives Back live episode with Jeff Beck. This was back in the My December era because, of course, there was all that controversy about how she should have actually performed Never Again on the show because the label thought it would be more important for her to promote her album. But she felt, and rightfully so, that it wasn't the time and the place to shamelessly self-promote yourself. And so She does this Patty Griffin cover, which, you know, she nails Patty Griffin every single time she does her. And this one was no exception. Again, Jeff Beck, just beautiful guitar playing. A very unlikely pairing, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you would have given me, you know, 25 of the best guitarists of all time and tell me which one of those do I think that Kelly would ever perform with, or I mean, you can kind of call it a duet, but really it's just somebody to back her up. I'd have never gotten to Jeff Beck. And I do consider Jeff Beck to be one of the greatest guitar players. So that was a nice surprise. And it was fun for sort of us musicologists who are big fans of so many different artists, and to see a young, fresh artist like Kelly performing with a legendary artist like Jeff Beck. It was just really, really cool to see. And then on top of it, she absolutely nails this song. And we heard her bring back Up to the Mountain not too long ago on the talk show. Again, still strong performances with this song. And this one was a charity single. So they put it out on iTunes. And this is before the days of Spotify and Apple Music, where, you know, you could just stream songs. You didn't have to pay for them. This is back when you had to buy the song for the, you know, 99 or $1.29 or whatever it was at that point. And all that money went to charity. And I think this, from what I remember reading, this was one of the more popular songs that was released from that particular show.
Absolutely. And just to give some people a little bit of context, if you remember our what did we call the episode? It wasn't a song battle. Fantasy Draft. Thank you. Fantasy Draft.
Yes.
When we had Holly and Nettie on, we had like a bonus track area. Holly chose this, I believe, as hers. Which yes. was very sneaky, but she was correct to do it because it technically was released. So this was it's always so good. I always get so excited whenever she performs this. So go Kelly. Alrighty, next one. We just have a random list, and it's such a random list, you guys. I'm going to probably mention the song that again just haunts me every few episodes, which is Get Up, a Cowboy's Anthem.
this is not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, really?
I thought you were going to say another song, but no, I never get tired of hearing the story with this song.
Again, very long story short, for those who may be new to the podcast, go listen to our old episodes. In one of our very first episodes, it was the My Kelly Experience with Jeremy and I mentioned that one of my meet and greets that I met Kelly at, it was right like the week after Get Up, a Cowboys Anthem came out, and me not knowing anything about sports, I told Kelly, I was in New York, and I told Kelly she should perform it tonight because it's new and the fans really like it. And she's like, well, it's a song about the Cowboys and we are in Giants territory and I do not want to get booed tonight. And I'm like, oh, okay. And yeah, I'm an idiot. So that's my context, but it's a great song.
It still just cracks me up that in a room of you and Kelly Clarkson, she was the one who was better knowledgeable about sports.
I know. What does that say about me? A lot. Jeremy, I don't remember. I mean, I know this was a single. I think you can buy it on iTunes as well, right?
I don't recall. I remember I got it as a free download from Pepsi. It was a big promotion that they were doing where they were working with the NFL and a bunch of other artists. And I mean, put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you who any of the other artists were that participated in this promotion. But there was, you know, half a dozen or so songs that artists made sort of pumping up their particular favorite teams. Not every team was represented, but Kelly happened to be the one who was chosen for this particular song and for the compilation itself. I mean, it wasn't even released as, you know, you could get every song.
Yeah.
It was still like single by single, you know, individual songs. So
I found out. I found it out. Okay.
You did.
Yes. Thank you, Wikipedia. sometimes we cheat, guys. So yes, it was available as a free download on August 13th, 2012, from Pepsi and, you know, the NFL. I think I met her less than a week after that. So just to give you a little bit of context about how much I screwed up, it's okay. and then it became a paid digital download that RCA ended up releasing, which I'm assuming was probably just like iTunes, maybe like Amazon Music. That was in October of 2012. So
okay.
I feel like the majority of people probably got it as a free download back in the day because it was free and we knew about it, but yeah. It was available to purchase a couple months later. So there's the context, which I didn't remember, but now I do. So
this is why we have the internet at our fingertips so that they can help fill in the holes that we forget. Because again, when you've got a singer who's got an 18-year career, you're going to forget a lot of the small, minute details, like this random song that got put out about the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly. All right, Jeremy, what's our next one?
My choice is going to be I Dare You. And this was a song that feels like it came out 3 years ago, but it actually came out back in April of 2020. It was right at the sort of the beginning of the upswing of the pandemic. And I'm almost wondering if the pandemic helped or hurt this song. It's hard for me to figure out because, yes, it was released as a single and, yes, there was some promotion put behind it. But I'm just wondering if the world and more specifically the country was so focused on everything that was going around. Because, again, you know, this comes out in April, like mid-April. And at that point, it had been officially a pandemic for just over a month. And so it was still the only thing that anybody could talk about. And I'm just wondering if in those first couple of months of pandemic that anything that got released that you were trying to really push and promote just didn't take off because people's minds were just elsewhere. Now, that's not to say that Kelly and her team did not really, really push it, because we got all kinds of talk about the song. There was so much digital content released about the song and the making of, and there were things where you could sing with Kelly and, you know, do like videos with her. And there was all kinds of stuff that they did for this particular song. It is a very good song. And I think it's actually probably one of the most ambitious projects that Kelly has ever done, because of the fact that it was sung in so many different languages that, I mean, I would say it's the most impressive song that I think I've ever heard her do. I mean, she sings in French, she sings in Moroccan, she sings in Spanish, she sings in German. You know, there's all these different languages, and it's on top of it, it's a good song. It was released to radio. It did relatively well at radio. But I just think that had it not been for the pandemic, this song might have been maybe a little bit bigger. And I know that it did get sort of, I don't know if I want to call it it definitely was not an anthem or the calling card for, but it definitely got sort of picked up along the way during the Black Lives Matter movement in the summer of 2020. And it was sort of it's a nice unifying song. It obviously doesn't speak directly to what Black Lives Matter is all about, but it did have that sort of unifying message. And it was a song that I wish I could have seen it come out in quote unquote normal times.
Yeah.
But either way, you know, again, one of the most impressive releases that she's ever done, one of the most ambitious songs that she's ever done. And I think that this is going to be a song that will be greater appreciated the further down the road her career gets.
Yeah, because honestly, we didn't really like get to see her do anything live with it. I think she did, you know, a couple things from like Montana, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. like for the talk show, The Voice. But, you know, I mean, I'll admit, I wasn't a massive, massive fan of the song. I like it a lot. And I love kind of like what you said. I loved the message behind it and that she got so many different cultures and ethnicities involved in this. And it definitely came out at a time that we all needed it. I know mm-hmm. definitely I did, but you know, vocally it's not maybe my absolute favorite, but I think the fact that yes, she did it in six languages, I'm just like, I couldn't be prouder, honestly. Prouder as a fan. So I'm also just reading up that the Hebrew version went to number one in Israel, which I'm like, that's pretty damn cool.
That's awesome.
It deserves it, you know? Mm-hmm. And even just, again, with the whole Black Lives Matter, it's also just – it was that, and it was also just the general tension that was going on in the U.S. with the 2020 election. There was so much that this song was relevant for. So she definitely put it out at a time that we all needed it. But I think, yeah, I wish it did better. I really do, because it deserved it.
Yeah, in such a divisive year, like you said, and I wasn't even thinking about the political environment in 2020. But yeah, I mean, you got politics, you've got Black Lives Matter, you've got the pandemic, and this song comes out that is being sung in multiple languages, and it is such an inclusive song. It was basically the opposite of everything that was going on in the world.
Exactly. And I think it was so great that she had done that. So again, I guess I'm most proud of the song for its lyrical content and for what she did with it, more so than like the song itself, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I could go with the next obvious one, but maybe I want to switch it up. I'm going to switch it up.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a song that was released in 2016. It was not her song, but it was a song that she was featured on. It's called "This Is For My Girls." It was released. It was, I think, Michelle Obama thought of the idea. It was her project. And there was a ton of celebrities on this song, including Kelly, Missy Elliott, who else? Kelly Rowland, Lea Michele, Janelle Monáe, Zendaya, Chloe and Halle, and someone named Jada Grace. I'm going to mess up her pronunciation. And Diane Warren was also behind this project. It was like a female empowerment song. And I feel like Kelly came into the track, like in the actual song, like a little bit later. So for a while I was listening, I'm like, where is she? Are we sure she's definitely in this song?
And then she's just somewhere in the background.
But then you hear her wailing and she gets a decent part. And this is a song I always forget about. And I don't think I listened to it in at least 2 years. So, I want to go back and listen to it afterwards because I always forget how fun it is.
Yeah.
I think it was a charity single. I don't remember. Let me look this up. So it premiered actually at South by Southwest in 2016, which is like a music, tech and movie conference in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michelle Obama got all these people together and it was a charity single for, an organization or an initiative rather called Let Girls Learn, to help girls around the world, get education. So I think it was really fitting to have Kelly on there because Kelly's always preaching about the importance of education and thanking teachers. So I think all in all, it was just like a really fitting thing for her to be a part of. So I know this was released like on, I guess, yeah, Apple was a thing then, Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
But I always forget it exists. And I feel like a lot of people are in the same boat as me. Do you ever listen to this?
I got to admit, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I thought the song was fine.
Yeah.
Nothing against the song. It's just not one that really sticks out in my memory. If it were to pop up on my Spotify or my iTunes, I would absolutely listen. All right, Pam, I'm going to take us to the holiday season for my next one-off, and that is going to be I'll Be Home for Christmas. And this song is always going to be my sort of Jeopardy fun fact about Kelly in that she hasn't released a lot of live material, at least officially, but this song was one of the early live songs that she released, and I happened to be in the crowd the night that this song was recorded. It was the last night of the All I Ever Wanted tour. I've told this story on the podcast before. She was in New Orleans and was doing it was like near the end of late November, early December when the tour ended. And she came out during a second encore and performed this song separately. And then not long later, it ended up being a released single that they just sort of put out on iTunes. And then the recorded version later became part of her iTunes session that came out in 2011. And it ended up on Wrapped in Red. Now, the live version is sort of the version that we're talking about here because it was, in fact, released separately. It was, I mean, gosh, I'm thinking a full year, maybe year and a half before Wrapped in Red, maybe more. But either way, it was just really cool to be in the crowd and to see this song performed. She hadn't performed at that point a ton of Christmas material. We had, you know, a couple of one-off things from radio shows or, you know, these sort of one-off events. I think we had Blue Christmas at one point, and then we had the songs from the Idol CD. But otherwise, there hadn't been a lot of Christmas material at that point from Kelly. And so the story behind this song supposedly is that Kelly wrote, or I shouldn't say wrote, she recorded this song as a Christmas gift for her mother. And she sent that to her one year for Christmas. And then later on, she performed it at the All I Ever Wanted tour just that one night. And then obviously it made it to Wrapped in Red. Fun fact about Kelly's version of I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's only one of two versions to make the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Ooh.
The other one was Josh Groban's version. Kelly's did not chart as high as Josh's. Actually, I take that back. Kelly's charted higher. He charted at 95. She charted at 93.
Oh.
So technically, she has the highest charting Hot 100 version of I'll Be Home for Christmas. Look at that. A fun unknown fact you didn't know about Kelly.
There you go. I did not know that. Nice. All right. I guess we'll continue on the Christmas train. I'm going to go with one of the ones that she released a couple months ago, which was Under the Mistletoe. So that's a song that I'm sure many of you know she released with Brett Eldridge as a duet. And I don't think they actually met when they were recording this. They didn't meet until months later, and they were doing some live performance of it, which I always think is fascinating, especially during COVID, where they have to like do everything remotely. I like this song. It was one of two that was released, and maybe I'm segueing into the next one. Should I just say the next one?
Might as well.
So the other song that she released, it was a few weeks after Under the Mistletoe, and it was All I Want for Christmas Is You, not the Mariah Carey version. It was the Vince Vance and the Who's?
And the Valiants.
Valiants. There we go. It's like, I don't know, some alliteration.
Yeah.
Both songs were really, I really liked both of these. I still don't know to this day which one I like better. I think there are elements of each that I prefer. But I think that's good. Those are good signs of quality Christmas songs when you can't decide which one you like more.
Yeah.
There is one other Christmas song that she also released as a single that I'll let Jeremy talk about that. I'm weird, and I've never liked this song.
You are an evil-hearted woman. I don't understand how you cannot like Christmas Eve.
I like the chorus, but that's about it.
Oh, the chorus. I mean, and I know that the way that the song is sung kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies. It's almost like it makes you anxious.
I don't know why.
It's such a good song, you know, and we talk about how Underneath the Tree is Kelly's sort of Mariah Carey moment for Christmas. You know, it's her All I Want for Christmas Is You. It is a slow build song that is becoming a staple at the holidays. It's been included on all kinds of TV shows and movies. But Christmas Eve, I think, is the next best Christmas song that Kelly has done. And it's just because the chorus is so big. And the rest of the song is constructed so well. I really, really love this song. And props to Kelly and Jason Halbert, who wrote the song, because it is not easy to write a memorable Christmas song. The number of artists that have put out Christmas albums, I mean, you can almost bet that if you have an artist with any sort of longevity, they are going to put out a Christmas album. Generally, they do it, you know, when they're half a dozen albums down the road, or if you're Christina Aguilera, it's like your second or third album. I think like even Clay Aiken was like his second album or maybe his third. I don't know. But you can always tell when an artist is really scratching for relevancy when they put out a Christmas album really, really quick. Or if the label is trying to capitalize and do a big grab of cash off of a popular artist, they put out a Christmas album too soon. But Kelly, I like where she has hers. You know, it's a natural place to put her Christmas album. And this song, again, we're talking about Christmas Eve, came out in November of 2017. So it was well removed from Wrapped in Red, but it still really is one of my favorite Christmas songs that she ever did. In fact, this song actually was partially a companion to the River Rose and the Magical Christmas book.
That's right. Because that was the second book that was released.
Yeah.
Is that going to segue into our next track?
It could possibly. I do want to touch real quickly on Christmas Eve. It did actually end up going to number two on the adult contemporary chart. So it did have some chart power to it. I guess it did really well in Canada, too, from what I read. But either way, it is, again, a very, very good Christmas album. And it's my point that I was trying to make earlier about memorable Christmas albums and Christmas songs is that not many artists have a memorable Christmas song. I mean, you can pick just about any artist and they've got a Christmas album, but I bet you can't name one of their songs, you know, without it being a cover. So never mind that it's a great Christmas song. It's a memorable Christmas song and it's an original. That is double tough to do when it comes to releasing Christmas tunes. So again, this one is a staple in my house around the holidays and I get happy every time it comes on. And if you just do the combination of Underneath the Tree right into Christmas Eve, man, oof. That is some happiness around the holidays.
Kind of going off of what Jeremy said about the two River Rose books. So the first River Rose book was actually released the year before in 2016. Mm-hmm. And they released HarperCollins, I believe, is the book publisher. They released a River Rose lullaby to go along with the book. And it was really short. It was like a minute, you know, or give or take. Yeah. And I think for a while it was available to download for free on the River Rose website. I think eventually they may have put it onto streaming. I'm not 100% positive on that.
It's not exactly a song I think that a lot of fans seek out.
No, exactly. But I'm pretty sure you can probably find it somewhere streaming. If not, it's on YouTube. But yeah, for a while it was released as a promotional single for the book. So going along with the children's songs while we're here, I'm going to mention the other children's song that she did that I often forget about. 2018, she actually worked with Hoda from the Today Show. Hoda released a book for her daughter, I believe, and Kelly made a song about it and that went along with the book. It's called I've Loved You Since Forever. And I believe that's also probably on, I think that's on streaming as well. And they made like a little music video for it. It's a really sweet song. Another lullaby, so to speak. But this time it was like a full song, not like a 45 second clip like the River Rose one. So yeah, they're really nice. They're really sweet. Often I forget about them, but I also don't have children. So maybe that's why. So I don't know. They were nice.
Yes, they were fine. The next one I want to bring up is – this is a weird one because it's a song that ended up on an album. But this was RCA's version of trying to get Kelly into the country market. And this was also sort of when Taylor Swift started to do like – pop versions and country versions of her songs. And it was very popular because, I mean, she's Taylor Swift. And I think RCA tried a little too hard when they had Kelly create a country version of Mr. Know-It-All. This was released shortly after the proper Mr. Know-It-All single came out, but they tried to put sort of a country swing to it and didn't really work for me. I mean, it's fine. I consider it more of a remix than anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's as far as a country version of the song, just changing the instruments doesn't necessarily make every song a country song. That's kind of what they tried to do here. I mean, she re-sang the song and, you know, kind of put it. It's a little different in tempo, but it didn't really work for me trying to change the format of the song. It is what it is. It was out there. Fans bought it because it was Kelly and it was a new version of a song. And that was sort of at the early point when we were all kind of craving a Kelly country project. So we were all kind of like, ooh, maybe this is the first sign that it's going to happen anytime soon. Like it's going to be the next album after Stronger, obviously, which never materialized. But yeah, this one's a little forgettable for me. I have it. I listen to it when it comes on, but it's nothing that I hold near and dear.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I bought it when it came out because I'm like, oh yeah, I need to have it. But I don't think I've listened to it since like 2012, 2013. So that says enough. I definitely prefer the original. This isn't bad. It's just kind of like whatever. But this version did not end up on an album, correct?
No, this was just sort of a one-off.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, it's fine. All right. So we have a few more. I think we have six more. Is that correct? I think we have six more, but I feel like
that sounds roughly right.
I think five of them I can kind of bunch up together because they are all kind of related.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to give you the one that I think you were saving for me. I'm going to let you do that one last.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm nice.
Wow, you're so kind.
I'm a nice person sometimes. Yeah. Cool. So she's on a lot of songs, obviously, with the voice contestants, mm-hmm. and a lot of them. I guess I don't know how it works. I guess it's like towards the end. I don't know my voice timeline, but they release a lot of them onto iTunes. So she's had a couple of songs from The Voice get released onto iTunes. Now the first one was with season 14 winner Bryn Cartelli. They did a version of "Don't Dream It's Over" by Crowded House. I think I mentioned that in our duets episode. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy this one. I thought it was fantastic. And again, Bryn was like 15 at the time. So it was just crazy how mature her voice is for that age. Should they also, next season for season 15, they did a, with her and Chevelle Shepherd, who ended up winning for Team Kelly that year. They did "Rockin' with the Rhythm of the Rain" by the Judds. Always fun. I don't know what Chevelle's up to. I think she just released some new music recently. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think right.
Ashley Arison possibly wrote on one of the songs. I might be making this up. But I feel like I saw that somewhere. If I'm wrong,
look up these,
tell me.
Please don't look these up. Don't look up these facts. take them as facts.
The next one was with season 17 winner Jake Hoop. They did a gorgeous performance of Winter Song, which was originally by Sarah McLachlan. Glad they did that and not the Arms of the Angel that you see on all those depressing animal commercials. Although hasn't Kelly sung that before?
Was it like the Sarah McLachlan version?
Didn't she do that like as a demo, like before Idol?
Yes, she. Oh, sorry. I was thinking Winter Song. Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Angel is one of the four original demos that Kelly did, and yeah. I mean it's good. It's really close to the original, but it's very good, especially yeah. when you consider that in that demo she's like 17, 18.
Yeah, we just got really off topic, but yeah. Anyway, the last one that was specifically from like a show performance was on season 18 with Micah Iverson, I think his name is, and they did Lady Antebellum's "I Run to You," which is a fantastic song. So mm-hmm. those were all released. Those were iTunes songs / Apple Music. They may have made their way onto Spotify, but I just know that like The Voice and Apple Music have some sort of partnership. Going along with this, Kelly also guested on a track by one of the Voice contestants that was not at the time, I'm not meant for an album. And that was "I Dream in Southern" with Caleb Lee. Yep. I will be the first to admit, I think I listened to this twice. I couldn't mm-hmm. tell you how it goes.
Yeah, this was Caleb was from season 14. He originally started on Team Blake and then he got bounced in the battle rounds. And then Kelly stole him for her team. I think he finished fifth or sixth in the show. So look, if you finish anywhere outside of the top two in The Voice, it's hard to remember who you are. But yeah, I did like that she still like jumped in and hung with him and contributed to his song.
Yeah. I think that, you know, she is, you know, and obviously she's done the new Jake Hoot song, but I believe that's for his album. So that's not why we're going to include it here. But yeah, it really says a lot about her that she's willing to really collaborate and kind of establish some of the artists that she's worked with on the show, especially, you know, having a lot of them come out as guests during the Meaning of Life tour. I mean, she did not have to do that. So I think it definitely says a lot about her that she's willing to continue working and growing these artists. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we got one more song that we can think about, and I'm going to let Jeremy take it away.
I'm so shocked that you let me have this.
Well, I figured we'll save the best for last, in my opinion. But then I've been chatting for the last few minutes, so I figure let me give it to Jeremy so he can talk.
All right. So, yeah. So our last song is a song that we have mentioned a few times on the show, and that is Go. It was the song that was released as part of a Ford marketing campaign for the Mustang. And going back to our demos and unreleased songs episode from a couple of weeks ago, this is also, and I don't know if we...
I don't think we mentioned it.
I don't think we mentioned it at all, but it was also one of the songs that was released in that sort of flood of demos that were leaked onto the internet. But this was an early version of this particular song. If you ever find the song 3 AM, that was the original version of Go before it was reworked for Ford. And again, this was one that was a free download on a website. I don't even think it was ever even put on iTunes, let alone any of the other services.
I don't think so.
So this is one that sort of the fans all ran and grabbed, and then subsequent fans have had to either find on YouTube or older fans have been sharing the song with them. It's probably one of the few instances where it's not a big deal to post a download link to a song or share it to as many people as you want because it was a free song to begin with. But either way, again, this is – I do like this song. It's not my favorites of this list. Obviously, my favorite was Tie It Up, but it's up there. It's up there on the list, and it's still
fantastic.
A fun song. It's still a fun song. I remember it being performed on the Addicted Tour. And again, this is sort of one of my weird facts about my relationship, if you will call it that, with Kelly, where the song had been released for not a very long time, very short, like couple of weeks or so. And I go to the Addicted Tour show in Chicago and she performs the song and I'm singing this song word for word. I mean, absolutely word for word, because I had it memorized by that point. And it just so happened that Kelly and I made eye contact while she was on stage and she catches me singing the song and points at me and just yells, "Sing it!" Because she could see that I'm in a sea of people who are all just smiling at her and bopping around. And here I am like mouthing every word right back to her. So I think she was probably a little impressed that somebody knew all the words. Somebody who was at that show sent me the video of her doing that. They were from a kind of a far off perspective. I might have to post it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Either way, I've got video of it actually happening. It's just nowhere near where I am.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that story, I think. And then again, for anyone who isn't really familiar with the song, you can go on YouTube and they did make a music video for it. There's not much
they
that
did.
Happens. We've mentioned it before in the music video episodes. It's like she has like a basically like a drag race with herself with two different Mustangs, a color and black and white.
It's not the most creative of the videos, but
no,
I mean, it is what
fine.
It is.
It is what it is. Yeah. Justice for Go should have been a single. I'll say that every few episodes because I know a lot of you agree with me. And yeah, that's basically our list. And I mean, there are a lot of songs that we didn't mention that, maybe weren't part of Kelly's albums, but they were released as songs that were part of either like a movie compilation or they were on other artists. Album. So if you're wondering, why didn't we mention that? I mean, it was hard where to draw the line.
Yeah.
So
because we could have done a whole episode about just every song that was not on a actual Kelly album, because in that case, we would have mentioned Don't You Want to Stay or Secondhand Heart or It's Quiet Uptown and going into all the movie soundtracks that
Respect
she was on.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other material that's out there, but we wanted to sort of focus on the stuff that was, sort of these one-offs that came out of nowhere from time to time that over the last 18 or so years. And I'm sure that there's going to be more of them. You know, the question is always asked about what is the future of the album itself. You know, there's a lot of artists who are still very old school, and I feel weird saying that, but that they still believe in the album itself and they are going to release songs as albums. And then you've got some different artists who some might consider more forward thinking, and they're just going to make music and they're going to make songs and they're going to put them out when they finish them. So we might get you know, a two or three songs from an artist, and then we don't hear from them for a few months, and then there's a couple more songs. And so you're going to start seeing that for more and more artists, rather than them going through the whole process of the album cycle, which is, I mean, I'll even say is a bit of an outdated model. You know, it's just really not the way that people consume and get music anymore. You know, there are plenty, and you're seeing this especially in the hip hop community, where that genre of music is really good about the one-off song. Yeah. And songs go crazy popular, even if they are not attached to a particular album. It's no big deal. Artists are making their money and they're staying top of mind by constantly releasing new music. In some cases, it seemingly every few weeks.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the way that albums are made. You know, songs are constructed over time. And, you know, you may work really hard on a song for a couple of weeks and then you finish it. And then you start working on another song for a couple of weeks and then you finish that. And maybe another song only takes you a couple of days. Artists can release songs as soon as they're mastered and finished. They don't have to be beholden to an album, depending on what their record contract is. But we may see Kelly go to this model maybe someday down the road.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, this doesn't really pertain to Kelly, but like, especially if there's an artist out there, in case anyone's just wondering, it's a little off topic, but if you're an artist who releases your own music, and you know, you go through your own distributor, you basically, that means you can go through your own company. Like there's a they have various companies you can upload your music to, and they'll get it onto Spotify and Apple Music. So if you're an independent artist and you do that on your own, they recommend you release stuff every 6 weeks, which is, I mean, it's not the most realistic, but it's kind of the suggested format right now, especially because, you know, there's not really other ways people can make music right now and make money off of music, rather. So just because you can't do any touring or whatever. But that was a whole off topic tangent. But yeah, the moral of the story is that, you know, who knows, we may get some more singles from her. Well, or just like random songs out there well before we get any sort of album. I feel like Kelly is going to be someone who continues to make albums for a while, but not to say she won't put out a bunch of stuff like I Dare You or random stuff throughout the year. I think we're going to get a mixture of both from her for the rest of her career.
And again, the great example is everything that came out in 2020 was one-off releases. I mean, we got... Technically, we got three new songs from Kelly over the course of the last year, which, you know, outside of an album era, that's a lot. You wouldn't normally get that. But, you know, we did get I Dare You, and then we got the two Christmas songs. You know, she may be to the point where she's like, you know what, I'm not going to do another Christmas album. I've done that. But I do still like recording Christmas music, and so I may put out some one-off Christmas tunes here, you know, here and there, which is totally fine with me. I don't mind getting surprised every now and again with a new Kelly single from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. Keeps us on our toes.
All right. So this was sort of a short episode this week, but that's okay, right? Everybody needs a chance to just get a quick one out, and one that still, you know, gives you some new information that you might not have known. Now, just a little bit of a programming note for the podcast. We are going to be taking sort of the Miss Into Podcast spring break. So we will not have a new episode. If you're listening in real time, we're not going to have a new episode next week, but we will have a new episode the following week. And it's going to be worth the wait, Pam, because I think this is one of the episodes that has been hotly anticipated.
Yeah.
People are already starting to ask us about it on social media, and it is going to be the beginning of a sort of two-part series on the podcast, and that is that we are going to finally dive into the My December era.
Woo! Dun, dun, so dun. I mean, listen, we are taking a week off, but let's be honest, we're probably just going to use the time to do a little bit more research, because this era is so rich with stuff. I was going to say a different word, but there is just so much drama that happened that we can't fit it into one episode.
We used up our month's worth of swearing in our demo episode, so we have to dial it back for a few episodes.
Yeah, we have to keep it a little PG for now, and then we'll get back into the, you know, PG-13.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will start a two-episode arc of the podcast where we will both discuss the album itself. We will do a proper album breakdown of My December, but then we are also going to have a separate episode where we discuss all of the drama and oddities that surrounded the My December era. And I mean, that really spans from Breakaway all the way to All I Ever Wanted. So there is a lot of ground to cover there. I mean, there's a good solid like 5 years of time where it was a very unpredictable time in the world of Ms. Kelly Clarkson. So there'll be a lot to talk about. We're excited about these episodes. We've been sort of keeping an eye on them in the horizon, and now they are finally here. So we hope you guys will all be excited to hear sort of our two-part episodes that get into My December.
Yeah. And if we did happen to miss anything this week about any sort of standalone songs, let us know, because I'm kind of curious to see what I forgot. you know where to find us. We're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Miss Into Podcast. You can also email us, missintopodcast@gmail.com. As always, if you are an Apple listener, please leave us a review and a rating. We really appreciate it. And Jeremy, I think that's about it, right?
Yes, that's going to do it. Thanks so much for listening, you guys, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
You've been listening to Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Continue the conversation by following the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Miss Into Podcast. Send us your questions and comments to missindiepodcast@gmail.com.